Morning, everyone. So this morning, we're going to be talking about Old Testament shadows of Christ. We'll be talking about things from the Old Testament that foreshadow Jesus. When Jesus walked the earth, one of the problems the Jews had with him was that he was teaching things that were not a part of the old law. We see that in John chapter 5, when they accuse him of healing on the Sabbath. During his response to that, in verse 39, he says, "You search the scriptures because you think that in them you have eternal life, and it is they that bear witness about me." So Jesus here declares that the Old Testament scriptures bear witness of him. They tell about him. They speak and give evidence of Jesus. In reality, the Old Testament spends a great deal of time revealing information about Jesus Christ. The first way the Old Testament reveals Jesus is by prophecy. It's full of detailed predictions about the Messiah. We learn details about his birth, his life, his work, and his death, all before he takes his first breath on this earth as a man. But another way the Old Testament reveals Jesus is through shadows or types. Lucas, you want to get the lights? If we can see here, if I shine this up here, we can see from a shadow, you can see something about the type, right? You can see kind of generally what its size is, what its shape is. Go ahead, Lucas, turn the lights back on. You can see what its shape is, what its size is. You can learn that there is an object to begin with, right? But when we look at that shadow, we don't see all the detail, right? It was definitely kind of hard to see what that was. You might have saw that it was an elephant, a tiny little elephant toy. You couldn't see the eyes, you couldn't see the color, but you could kind of see the general shape. This is kind of how it is in the Old Testament. We can start to see the shape of Jesus as we read the Old Testament. It contains many shadows of Jesus. There are events that were shadows of Jesus, like the Passover, where the firstborn of the Jews were saved by the blood of the Lamb. There were objects like manna that foreshadowed the true bread from heaven. There were practices of the law, like cities of refuge, that foreshadowed the refuge that we will find in Christ. However, one of the largest categories of types and shadows in the Old Testament were the characters and the people that the Old Testament tells us about. Many of the characters of the Old Testament provide shadows of Christ. This means they had a similar character or accomplished similar things to what Christ accomplished. This helps us learn more about Christ because they provide a physical example to some of the spiritual realities brought by Christ. So today we have three young men who are going to talk about several characters from the Old Testament and that serve as shadows of Christ. We have Gavin, who's going to talk about Noah. Kaz is going to talk about Moses, and then Mike is going to talk about David. All right, Gavin, go ahead.
Good morning. Today I'll be talking about Noah and how he foreshadowed Jesus. Foreshadowing is when something or someone gives a hint about a future event or person. I have a few things to look at to show that Noah was foreshadowing Jesus. Noah was the most faithful in his time, and Jesus was the only sinless person to ever live. Noah and Jesus were both carpenters that built great things. The ark had a single door to enter through, and Jesus is the single way into heaven. First, we are going to talk about Noah, how Noah was a righteous man and was devoted to following and preaching God's word. Please turn in your Bibles to Genesis chapter 6, verse 9. This is the genealogy of Noah. Noah was a just man, perfect in his generations. Noah walked with God. Next, please turn to 2 Peter chapter 2, verse 5. 2 Peter chapter 2, verse 5. And did not spare the ancient world, but saved Noah, one of the eight people, a preacher of righteousness, bringing the flood on the world of the ungodly. These verses help us to give a little insight into Noah and the type of man he was. He followed God's word and preached the same. Jesus was also righteous, even more so, So he, even more so, he was the only person to live on the earth who never sinned. And we know that Jesus spent his life teaching God's word. Please follow along with me in your Bibles to Hebrews chapter 7, verse 26. Hebrews chapter 7, verse 26. For such a high priest was fitting for us, who is holy, harmless, undefiled, separated from sinners, and has become higher than the heavens. Next, please turn to 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 21. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 21. For he made him who knew no sin to be sin for us, that we might become the righteousness of God in him. Please turn to 1 Peter chapter 2, 21 through 22. 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 21 through 22. For to this you were called, because Christ also suffered for us, leaving us an example that you should follow his steps, who committed no sin, nor was deceit found in his mouth. These verses are only a few from many that showing that Jesus was a man without sin and spent his life spreading God's word to all who hear him. We should also strive to lead sin-free lives and follow God's word and guidance in our Bibles, while also spreading the word of God to anyone we are able to. When we do that, we help to strengthen the kingdom of God and bring glory to God. Next, I will talk about how Noah and Jesus were carpenters and how they built great things. Noah built the ark following God's word and instructions. Please turn with me in your Bible to Genesis chapter 6, 14 through 16. Genesis chapter 6, 14 through 16. Make yourself an ark of gopher wood, make rooms in the ark, and cover it inside and outside with pitch. And this is how you shall make it. The length of the ark shall be 300 cubits, its width 50 cubits, and its height 30 cubits. You shall make a window for the ark, and you shall finish it to a cubit from above, and set the door of the ark in its side. You shall make it with lower, second, and third decks. Here we see God's detailed instructions to build the ark. Noah may or may have not been a carpenter before this, but I think we can see that Noah had some skill in building things, or he would not have been able to build the ark to God's exact specification. We also know that Jesus was a carpenter in his early life from these verses. Please turn to Matthew chapter 13, verse 55. Matthew chapter 13, verse 55. Is this not the carpenter's son? Is not his mother called Mary, and his brothers James, Joseph, Simon, and Judas? While Jesus was a carpenter in the sense that he built things here on earth, the greatest thing he built was the church, as we can see from these verses. Please turn to Matthew chapter 16, verse 18. Matthew chapter 16, verse 18. And I also say to you that you are Peter, and on this rock I will build my church, and the gates of Hades shall not prevail against it. Please turn to Ephesians chapter 2, 19 through 21. Ephesians 2, 19 through 21. Now therefore, you are no longer strangers and foreigners, but fellow citizens with the saints and members of the household of God, having been built on the foundation of the apostles and prophets, Jesus Christ himself being the chief cornerstone. Jesus was following God's will when he established the church. We can see that by following God's word and following the guidance in our Bible. We can and will accomplish great things for our Lord by spreading the word of God. Even we can help to build his kingdom in heaven. Now I will talk about salvation. We read just a little bit ago in Genesis that Noah built the ark according to instructions from God. Those plans only only included a single door to enter the ark. Also, those few people God allowed entry were saved from the destruction of the flood. Please read with me in Genesis chapter 6, 17 through 19. Genesis chapter 6, verse 17 through 19. And behold, myself am bringing flood waters on the earth to destroy from under heaven all flesh which is in the breath of life. Everything that is on the earth shall die, but I will establish my covenant with you, and you shall go into the ark. You shall go into the ark. You, your sons, your wife, and your sons' wives with you. And of every living thing of all flesh, you shall bring two of every sort into the ark to keep them alive with you. They shall be male and female. Jesus also left very clear instructions to follow for all salvation from judgment, and was very clear that he is the only way into heaven. In John chapter 14, verse 6. Please turn to John chapter 14, verse 6. Jesus said to him, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. We can clearly see from this that Noah was a foreshadow of Jesus. We should do similar to and attempt to copy Jesus in our daily lives and actions. Doing this will not only make us better people, it will make us better Christians. The Bible has specific instructions that we are expected to follow. By doing that, we will further build God's kingdom and give glory to God and show the world the path to salvation in heaven and heaven left for us by Jesus. Thank you for your attention this morning.
So as we look at the shadows of Jesus, we see that there are many notable similarities between the life of Moses and the life of Jesus. Let's start by looking at the rulers that they were both born under. In both cases, the current ruler was trying to kill all of the Israelite boys. Looking at Exodus 1:22, we can see Pharaoh's command to kill the Israelite boys. Exodus 1:22 says, So Pharaoh commanded all of his people, saying, Every son who is born you shall cast unto the river, and every daughter you shall save alive. Likewise, in Matthew 2:16, we see Herod's command to see the baby boys. Then Herod, when he saw that he was deceived by the wise men, was exceedingly angry and set forth to put to death all of the male children who were in Bethlehem and in all of its districts, from 2 years older, according to the time which he had determined from the wise men. Another more important similarity was that they were both sent by God to deliver God's law to the people. We're familiar with Moses getting his law at the top of Mount Sinai. Let's turn to John 7:19. And read when Jesus verified that the old law was given through Moses. Did not Moses give you the law, yet none of you keeps the law? Why do you seek to kill me? Not only did the law come through Moses, but also the covenant that the Lord established came through Moses. We can also go back to the Old Testament and read where God established his covenant with the Israelites through Moses. Please turn to Exodus 24:7-8. Then he took the book of the covenant and read it in the hearing of the people and said that all the Lord has said, we will do and be obedient. And Moses took the blood and sprinkled it on the people and said, this is the blood of the covenant, which the Lord has made with you according to all these words. Similarly, Jesus also delivered his law to the people. In Galatians 6:2, we see that the law Jesus brought is known as the law of Christ Jesus. Galatians 6:2 says, Bear one another's burdens and so fulfill the law of Christ Jesus. And as God established his covenant with the Israelites through Moses, we read that Jesus established a new covenant with all people everywhere, not just the children of Israel. Hebrews 9:15 says, And for this reason, he is the mediator of the new covenant by means of death for the redemption of the transgressions under the first covenant, that those who were called may receive the promise of eternal inheritance. The final similarity we'll look at is how both Moses and Jesus freed the people from slavery. Moses freed God's people from slavery in Egypt, and Jesus frees us from slavery to sin. We read about God calling Moses to free the Israelites from slavery through the burning bush in Exodus 3, 9 through 10. Now therefore, behold, the cry of the children of Israel has come to me, and I have also seen the oppression with which the Egyptians oppressed them. Come now therefore, and I will send you to Pharaoh, that you may bring the people, the children of Israel, out of Egypt. We can also read of God's completion of the deliverance through Moses in Exodus 13, 30 through 31. So the Lord saved Israel that day out of the hand of the Egyptians, and Israel saw the Egyptians dead on the seashore. Thus Israel saw the great work which the Lord had done in Egypt, so the people feared the Lord and believed the Lord and his servant Moses. Similarly, Jesus also delivers his people from the bondage of sin. Please turn to John 8, 31 through 36. Then Jesus answered the Jews who believed him, "If you abide in my word, you are my disciple. Indeed, you shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free." And they answered him, "We are Abraham's descendants, and have never been in bondage to anyone. How can you say that we will be made free?" Jesus answered them, "Most assuredly I say to you, whoever commits sin is a slave of sin, and does not abide in this house forever. But a son abides forever. Therefore, if the son makes you free, you shall all be free indeed." Moses was a shadow of Jesus in freeing the children of Israel and establishing a new covenant. However, we need to keep in mind that the shadow is never greater than the true which casts the shadow. And we see that Jesus is in fact greater than Moses in Hebrews 3, 3 through 6. Hebrews 3, 3 through 6 says, "For this one has been counted worthy of more glory than Moses, inasmuch as he who built the house has more honor than the house. For every house is built by someone, but he who built all things is God. And Moses indeed was faithful as much as a servant, for a testimony of those things which will be spoken afterward. But Christ as a son over his own house, whose house we are, if we hold fast to the confidence and the rejoicing of the hope firm to the end."
When you think of the character David, what is the first thing that comes to your mind? For me, I remember he was known as the man after God's own heart. The story that I think of first is when David kills the giant Goliath. David was many things in his life. He was a murderer, a liar, a shepherd, a musician, a soldier, a king, a husband, a father. He was also humble, repentant, kind, courageous, and a good friend. David was an emotional dude. He had many highs and lows. We have an example of him dancing in the street because he was overjoyed when the Ark of the Covenant was finally coming home. We also see him rip his clothes, wear sackcloth, and sit in ashes from extreme sorrow because of his sin and grief. He had extremes on both ends. He didn't try to skip the hard. He worked through them and with God's help overcame them. These things should help us get a picture in our mind who David was. Today, I want to focus on the fact that David would play a very important part in God's great plan for man. Before God created the world, he knew. He knew mankind would need a capital S Savior to save them from their sin. Turn with me in your Bibles to John 1. John 1, verse 1. John 1, verse 1. Jesus' life and death is recorded in the first books of the New Testament called the Gospels. They were written with help and guidance from the Holy Scriptures by four different men. They are all slightly different. It is important to look at all the accounts. But right now, we will look at just John. John 1:1. Before the world began, there was the Word. The Word was with God, and the Word was God. Word in this verse is capitalized, meaning it's a proper noun. It's a specific person, place, thing, or idea. Jesus is who word capitalized is being referred to. Jesus was with God before time began. Jesus is God. Now let's rewind and go back to the very beginning. Let's look in Genesis 3. Genesis 3, 14 and 15. The Lord said to the snake, "Because you did this, a curse will be put on you. You will be cursed more than any tame animal or wild animal. You will crawl on your stomach and you will eat dust all the days of your life. I will make you and the woman enemies to each other. Your descendants and her descendants will be enemies. Her child will crush your head, and you will bite his heel." This is the first time that a Savior is is being prophesied about. Prophecy is just a big word for telling about something that will happen in the future. God told his people the end of the story, but there was a lot that had to happen between then and the time Jesus would come and finally die. God had to choose one physical family to be different from the rest. He chose Abraham, an old man who had no children. He promised the old man that he would have a big family, two, have a big beautiful land to live in, and three, the Savior Jesus would come through him. Eventually, Abraham had a son named Isaac. The family would grow and grow over the years. That family became the nation of Israel, the Israelites. They were also called the Jews or Hebrews. Fast forward, the nation would end up slaves in Egypt. They would eventually be let free and have to wander in the wilderness for 40 years as a punishment. In the book of Numbers, chapter 2, verse 32, it is recorded that there were 603,550 people. That was just including the men who were 20 years and older, did not include the women and children. That old man grew to be the many great-grandfather of all those people. They finally entered the beautiful land, the land that had been promised to Abraham all those years before. There was a woman who lived in the city of Jericho that believed in God. She helped the spies escape with their lives. Because of this, her and her family did not die when the walls fell down in Jericho. This woman's name was Rahab. Rahab did not have a job that pleased God. Rahab was not an Israelite, not part of God's chosen family. She wanted to become part of God's family and worship him as her God. She made a change for the good. Matthew, the apostle, recorded in his book all of Jesus' earthly family. Rahab is in that list. She was the great-great-grandmother of King David. Fast forward a couple more generations, and a little boy named David was born. He would grow up to be the second king of Israel, also the great times 29 grandpa of Jesus Christ. If you look behind me, there is a list of things that we can see in David that can also make us think of Jesus. David was born in Bethlehem. Jesus was born in the city of David, too. David was an earthly shepherd. Jesus was a spiritual shepherd. David was dismissed by his brothers. Jesus was disbelieved by his brothers. David was sent by his father, and he battled with a Philistine. Jesus was sent by the Father, won the war over Satan. David crushed Goliath's head. Jesus crushed Satan's head. David was hunted by King Saul in his youth. Jesus was hunted by King Herod as a child. David was the king of Israel. Jesus was the king of the Jews. David's throne was established forever. Jesus is the eternal establishing of David's throne. The one that I want to focus on is the last one, the eternal kingdom. The family line of kings started with David. His dad was not a king. Normally, the sons would take over from the father. God wanted David to be the king, so he was. All throughout Judah's history, it was David's family taking over as king. Jesus was born at a time when Jews no longer ruled themselves. Rome was in charge, and they ruled over them. Jesus was born, lived his life, began preaching and teaching, died on the cross, and rose from the grave. Jesus came from the tribe of Judah through David's family line. David's family line is still on the throne because of Jesus. Jesus established a spiritual kingdom that he calls the church, his church. David was the king around the time that the nation of Israel was the most powerful and wealthy. His throne and kingdom was on earth, and he protected his people from earthly problems, and eventually it was destroyed. Jesus' throne and kingdom are spiritual, meaning he came down to save us from our spiritual problems, sin. His kingdom is the most powerful now, and it cannot be destroyed. Like Rahab, you can choose to obey God. You can choose to become a citizen of the kingdom that cannot be destroyed. A way is provided for you to escape the punishment for your sins. Jesus came for all of the people we talked about earlier, for those people living now, and for people who will live in the future. We just have to make the choice on whether we choose to be part of this family or not. The choice is up to you. Thank you.
I just want to thank these young men. They did a great job discussing the shadows of Christ, some of the characters of the Old Testament. I think we need to remember or learn from this that part of what God revealed about Christ is in the Old Testament and in those characters that we read about in the Old Testament, in the events of the Old Testament. But another thing we need to remember, too, is that the shadows never actually live up to the reality. They never show the full detail. As great as these Old Testament characters or shadows of Christ are, we should feel a lot of joy and comfort that it is Christ who casts these shadows, and he is even much greater. How much greater is the salvation of Christ than the salvation of Noah? How much greater is the law of Christ than the law of Moses? And how much greater is the kingdom of Christ than the kingdom of David? I'm going to ask Brother Blaine to offer a prayer to close us out this morning.
Please bow with me. Dear Dad, thank you for today. Thank you for your only son to die for all of our sins. And please help the sick ones to feel better. And thank you for all of us be healed. And we can learn about you and your son. And please help the travelers to travel to the destination safely. And thank you for the food, the shelter, and the pets. In Jesus' name, amen.